Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible gives believers a big picture view of God's will for us to be holy, but it also gives specifics on how we should act toward each other. Paul has such a list in Ephesians chapter 5. Today we'll see how we measure up. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. Erwin Lutzer is talking about keeping your conscience clear and finds the nitty-gritty of all this in Ephesians chapter 5.
What the Apostle Paul does is he lists things here that are improper for Christians. And I think that you understand the meaning of the word immorality and impurity and covetousness. I do want to add a word, though, about what he says about foolish talk and crude joking. Clearly, God does not mind if we have a sense of humor. You know, what it's talking about here is impure jokes. It's talking about dirty jokes. It's talking about low kinds of humor. When I was in Bible school, there was a man there who was very sincere. You could describe him, I think, as oversaved. Have you ever met somebody who's just really oversaved? When we'd be laughing in a room, he'd knock on the door and say, "There's to be no joking, there's to be no jesting." Obviously, Paul isn't talking about that. A sense of humor is so important as to who we are. I think God has a sense of humor. I really do. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that I got a little bit of support. Not support throughout the whole congregation, but part of the congregation over here. I think God had a sense of humor. Have you ever looked carefully at a rhinoceros? I mean, you can look them up and you can ask the question, what was God thinking when he created them? Of course he has a sense of humor. But what he's talking about, what Paul is talking about, is sub-humor. It's the kind of humor that you sometimes have in business and where you make fun of sin. That would be one way to identify the kind of crude joking and jesting that he's talking about here. But that being said, now let's continue to read the text, because this becomes very, very serious. You'll notice it says, and I'm in verse 5, "For you may be sure of this." When Paul begins that way, you know that he's talking about something that is very, very important. Because we can be sure of everything else that he writes in this chapter, but he doesn't want us to miss this. You can be sure of this. You may not know whether or not the Cubs will ever win another World Series. You can't be sure of that. And there are lots of other things that you can't be sure of. But be sure of this. And now, no matter who you are, no matter how you are listening to this message, this is the time for you to be all ears, as the saying goes. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Wow. Two ways to interpret that phrase, no inheritance. Some people believe that it means that you will be denied the opportunity to rule in the kingdom. You will not be able to inherit the kingdom. You may enter it, but not inherit it. That's the most charitable way that you can interpret this. Others are adamant in insisting this means that you will not even enter the kingdom. In other words, you will be lost forever. You will not be in the kingdom. You will not be in heaven. You will be lost for all of eternity if you think that you can practice these things and make it part of your lifestyle, and at the same time, you are able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is very serious, my dear friend. If that's part of your lifestyle, if you say, this is who I am, and you're practicing immorality and impurity, and that becomes a part of your life, and you never deal with it, you never fight it, because you're simply going along with it. The text of Scripture says, be very careful, because know this, there will not be an inheritance for you in the kingdom, and you may not even enter the kingdom. Now, if you think that that is very upfront and serious, it is. But let's keep reading here. And then he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't be deceived by empty words. Yesterday, I spoke at a conference here in the area on apologetics, which is the defense of the faith. And I was reminded of a book that they had there. And the book is entitled, The Making of an Atheist. And the subtitle was, How Immorality Leads to Unbelief. This is an excellent little book. Actually, it's published by Moody Publishers, the name that you can trust, so you can trust it. And what the writer has concluded after extensive research, something that I've always believed intuitively, that the reason really that young people who go to college often lose their faith is not because of the intellectual arguments. The arguments aren't that strong. The arguments for Christianity are compelling. They do it because they fall into the sin of immorality, and then not knowing what to do with their guilt, not knowing what to do with their situation, purity, going back to purity, seems to be impossible for them. They don't know where to park their guilt. So what they decide to do is to plunge headlong into that lifestyle. Then they build their whole theology around it. And they begin to say, well, you know, I don't believe the Bible anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. And they begin to justify it and begin to live in a bubble where nothing that can be said to them can dissuade them of the fact that they are living wrongly. And the Bible says, do not be deceived by empty words. Wow. We live in a culture today that is willingly deceived by all kinds of empty words. Theo Hudson, a British journalist, I don't know much about him, not sure if he's a believer or not, said this, that in order for a sexual revolution to be complete, you need three things. First of all, that which was condemned has to be celebrated. You have to celebrate it. And then that which was at one time celebrated, such as traditional marriage, it must now be condemned. And those who refuse to celebrate the revolution, now they must be condemned. And that's where we are today. And I never really understood that until I just read a book recently about this and a lot of other topics. And I pointed out that in a purely secular culture, where sexuality becomes, in effect, the controlling reality, the important thing, and where sexual freedom, way out of control, becomes the dominant value of a culture, it is very important that not one form of marriage be above another. Therefore, all of them must be dragged down. Anything noble needs to meet the lowest common denominator, because no one's sexuality and their preference should in any way be perceived as better than another. So everyone is together. And those who refuse to celebrate, they now need to be condemned. Longer discussion, no doubt, at some other time, but notice this. Do not be deceived by empty words, Paul says, because of these things, and you can be sure of this, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What a day and age in which we live, when our television and our media and our iPads and speeches that are given are filled with empty words. So there are really two ways in which we can be like God. One is we walk in love, the other we walk in light. Now, what the Apostle Paul does is he talks about their conversion, and I want you to look at the text. He says in verse 7, therefore do not associate with them, that is people like that. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's interesting that in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says the people, they walked in darkness. By the time you get to the time of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, it's quoted as saying the people, they sit in darkness. And here in this passage, you find that the people are darkness. They are darkness, darkness personified. And so what he says is that the Lord has given you light. Now you are light. They are darkness. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we have this elsewhere, of course, in the words of Jesus and other parts of the scripture. And notice, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you. What he's saying is that the works of darkness are unfruitful. Why? Because no fruit grows in the dark. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Aren't you glad that we are children of light? Yes, there are children of darkness, but the Bible says that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son. What a kingdom to be in. Thanks be unto God. We're getting near the end of a series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. I preach this series to help all of us to have a clear conscience before God and before men, as the Apostle Paul did, because that actually is the basis of our spiritual power. If we have a nagging conscience and we are troubled with that conscience, we can never seem to get beyond it. Well, this series deals with some of the most difficult issues of relationships before God and before man. Thank you so much in advance for your financial help. Let me say very candidly that without your financial contributions, we could not continue in this ministry. We're dependent upon you. If we've been a blessing to you, well, think in terms of possibly becoming a blessing to us by contributing to the work. My friend, let me share my heart with you. It is because of people like you that Running to Win can go around the world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're looking for more endurance partners to run this race. Go to moodymedia.org and click on Endurance Partners, and you will find out how you can help many people make it across the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Keeping Your Conscience Clear, the last in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. We need to be vigilant to keep works of darkness out of our lives. Next time, more on walking as children of light. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.